I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Buzzy, 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 buzzy. There's a buzz. There's a buzz around it. There's a buzz.
There's a buzz. There's a sort of two-tone elephant in the room this past week or so, because the VW ID Buzz has been announced. And while I was waiting for you to get on the line from Lincolnshire, caller, I was just browsing pictures of it again.
Of buzzes.
It's about the fourth or fifth time that I've been browsing pictures of the ID Buzz, which is weird. I can't remember the last new car that came out. I'd do that, you know. It's probably the Lotus Emira, actually.
Yeah, it could be that. I think since they've removed all of the swirly decals, I haven't been surprised because I could tell exactly what it was like. I was trying to describe it in the video that I did when I drove it. And it's good. I think it's a really good car. I think
when you went to drive it with that and it was all covered in that rainbow wrap,
yeah.
Did they sneakily show you a picture of what it looks like without?
No, they didn't. No.
Wow.
No, I just went up to it. When you're about a foot away from all the bodywork, you can tell exactly which ribs and which creases are there. So it was I had my car journalist scrutineering hat on and I was scrutinizing it carefully. I think the only thing that they wouldn't allow us to film the dash, but I could lift the flaps on the dash. It's got like neoprene. It looks like someone's had a horrific sea-based injury whilst wearing a wetsuit, and they've just draped it over the dash. You know, like one of these shark attacks. They've had to cut the wetsuit off the person, and then they've gone, "Do you know what, bollocks? Let's just drape this on the concept car dash."
It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, it's why he's exactly.
He loved surfing, and he loved VW buses. So we're going to use the remains of his wetsuit to disguise the dashboard in this new VW bus.
Well, that's what it. Maybe that's exactly what it is. It's repurposed, terribly injured surfers.
Well, why aren't the seats made or upholstered in tatty neoprene with bite marks in it? I mean, what would be more surfy than that?
Neoprene's actually really comfortable. And I do quite like the smell. There's something distinctive about the smell of neoprene. When I used to put my wetsuit on,
What wetsuit? When did you have a wetsuit?
I've got a wetsuit now. I mean, I don't fit in it so well right now. Well, because I used to, like, go out swimming and surfing and things.
Did you?
Yeah, I grew up in the West Country.
No, you're from the West Country, aren't you?
If you, if you live in the West Country and you don't surf or you can't swim, you get quietly killed.
What about if you're from Bristol, though?
Well, Bristol, a lot of Bristolians, they pretend they can, but they're just next to a really brown, horrible-looking estuary, so it's not really the same.
Hey, I was down by that estuary a few weeks ago and it was beautiful, a lovely sort of late winter's evening. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then a very big boat went past, and I love a very big boat close up.
I do. Hang on, was this the Bristol Channel that you were looking at? Bristol Channel is awful.
Down at Portishead sort of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And we stood on some rocks. And it was a lovely evening, and the water didn't look brown to me. It was so lovely.
Is this the introduction to a famous
gentle.
Five book all of a sudden?
It was a bit. It was quite wholesome. It was quite wholesome. And I suddenly thought, I wonder if I'll see a seal. Are there seals in the Bristol Channel? I don't really know.
God. You're more likely to see a collection of poos, I would say.
Well, it's the fastest, or one of the fastest tidal estuaries in the world, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't piss around with it. It will take you.
Oh, I'd never piss around with the sea. I mean, the sea's a bastard. I'm slightly fearful of the sea because it's such a twat sometimes.
I fear the sea, and yes, I did used to. I used to be a good swimmer, Richard.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I used to belong to regional swimming club.
Interesting. See, I'm a terrible swimmer,
But I'm not a very good swimmer anymore. Just simply because I don't, and it's annoying, and it's something I want to U-turn on.
But it's like riding a bike. Surely you don't forget how to swim, so I bet you'd get your magic back.
Well, it's the fit. You need your lung and heart power.
Oh,
you see,
okay.
Because it requires an awful lot of fitness to be able to swim for a long time. I used to be able to swim.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to be able to swim like
Bloody
a kilometre.
Tiring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is what I live in fear of this, because, you know, I've become in middle age a running enthusiast in that classic sort of middle-aged man, midlife crisis-y kind of way.
Yeah.
And I bust up my knee a bit ago and I couldn't run for a bit. And then some brutal physio, and it's all good as new, and I'm back to running. But I live in fear of permanently damaging my knee, which sort of feels inevitable when you get into your late 40s. And that to exercise, I'll have to do swimming, because I hate swimming.
Why don't you like swimming? You can get waterproof
earphones
now.
Because I'm no good at it.
You could listen to Florence and the Machine whilst breaststroking. I don't mean like that. You know what I mean? If you wanted to.
Interesting that you would go straight to Florence and the Machine as a sort of... Do you think that's motivational swimming music?
I think it's mermaid-esque music.
It is quite mermaid-esque.
If I was a trad mariner and I still believed in sirens and things like that... you know that kind of thing. You know that kind of thing where you accidentally drop your house and car keys overboard when you're on a pleasure boat, and then all of a sudden, 20 seconds later, this female but not quite female strange figure swims to the surface and hands it back to you, and you never see it again, and you can't tell any of your friends because you didn't video it, and it's just something that you know is in there, you know it exists, but.
You think that's Florence Welch out of Florence?
Yeah, that's what she does when she's not singing, when she's not recording music. Yeah.
Do you think her gigs then are full of sort of blokes in gabardines all going, "Arr, I hope she does stuff off their first album."
Oh, she's got a massive, massive pirate fraternity. Really big in the mariner's world. Well, I mean, all that kind of thing is steeped in superstition anyway, isn't it? I mean, actually racing drivers and riders, they can be quite superstitious. I'm sure you've heard of a few interesting things. Like, I don't know,
I'm not sure that I have.
You
but
fill
I'll
your pants with toilet
now.
Paper and climb into the car on the left hand side or something. Or
climb in from the
boot lid.
Yeah, all little sort of ticks and tricks and things that people have to do before they get into their racing cars, I suppose. Yeah. But I don't know where we were going with this.
No, we're not.
Oh, well.
ID Buzz.
ID Buzz. Here we are.
That's where we're going.
Ah, we've come round the maze and back into the centre bit where the car is. So, yes, the ID Buzz. And we sort of alluded to this last week or a couple of weeks ago, but I was saying about how that VW multivan I find strangely appealing. But bloody hell, the ID Buzz, I really, really want one. And yet, I don't know why, because I don't like Type 2 vans. I think they're absolutely shockingly shit. And
they annoy me. Is that to drive or just to exist?
Well, I'll be honest, have I ever driven one? No, I don't know if I have, actually. I've driven Beetles. Wait. Oh, speaking of which, did you see when they launched the ID Buzz last Thursday? They wheeled out Ewan McGregor as a Volkswagen brand ambassador.
Oh, did he have his Beetle, his battery powered Beetle?
Well, this is what I was going to say. He's a man after your own heart. Yeah, he's got a collection of Beetles, including an EV one.
Yeah, he has. When I went to the States to film at a place called EV West, where they convert classics into electric vehicles, Ewan's oval window Beetle was there being converted. In fact, I took a selfie with its engine bay. Ah. That's not sad, is it? But, No, Ewan's well into his time. Well, and also, look, just putting it out there, Ewan's a nice guy, he's handsome, and he likes Beetles. That's a role model for me. I think he's got a good... He's a good egg. He's got a good...
I think that's the thing. In a sort of parallel universe where you had, in fact, become an actor, you would be doing exactly what he's doing, which is living in California with a collection of interesting old Volkswagens, including an electrically powered one.
Yeah,
so in a way, he's sort of got the life that... He stole that life.
Should I not like him, do you think, because of
that?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, it's the thing, isn't it? There's a fine line between admiration and just naked, ugly jealousy. But I sort of think he is definitely doing what you might have done if you had decided to become the well-known actor Ewan McGregor.
Imagine if I was a bloody actor. That would be awful, wouldn't it?
Well, it depends. I mean, don't do yourself down. I didn't know you were a good swimmer until just now. So
I'm not anymore. Maybe. Can we just make this clear? So I can swim to survive now, and I don't have to...
Hang on. Whoa. Now, there's a TV show you've just come up with. Swim to Survive with Johnny Smith. This week, I'm in the North Sea, where I'm going to throw Dizzy Rascal and her who used to play Cat Slater out of EastEnders into the grey, choppy waters and see what happens.
No, I'm going to...
Welcome. to Swim to Survive.
And in, as a side element to Swim to Survive, it will be, I'm now going to throw your house and car keys overboard. This is the deepest part of the North Sea. Going to throw, and then 20 seconds
what
later,
are you going to do now?
20 seconds later, oh look, a siren appears who looks a little bit like Florence Welsh. And she's going to deliver it back to you, but say nothing. And then kick her tail and go. And going back to the ID Buzz, actually, I think they did miss a trick. It should have had neoprene textile seat option. Now, when I drove the ID Buzz and I got to see it and really kind of drink it in around the company of the Shermans who came over, the team who'd engineered it, my one reservation was, I could tell that the dash looked quite similar, quite formulaic to the ID4 and ID3, which is an okay dash if you order it with interesting colours, and if you don't, it just looks very ordinary.
Mm.
And I thought, I don't think the Buzz should have an ordinary dash. I feel like that was a bit of a ball drop. Now, I'm going to go, I'm recording this. I'm going to go and see it again this afternoon. I've been invited back to just look at the interior.
Oh,
so I'm going to go back with my vlogging camera and I'm going to say hi guys twice in every sentence, and I'm going to do a little
Please
vlog.
Do. Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. I might even throw in on that side of things as well when I'm interviewing someone from Volkswagen. And then
oh, speaking of which, I've been having a heck of a week or so with etceterists.
Oh, have you?
I've encountered a couple of etceterists. Well, one person who said etc., and then I went to a little event last week, and a guy got up on stage to do a little speech to thank everyone for coming, and he was a double etceterist.
What?
So he went, thanks everyone for coming. I know it was hard because, of course, there have been tube strikes, etc., etc. But it's great to see so many people here from all areas of everything, etc., etc. And so please relax, help yourselves to drinks, food, etc., etc. And it was just like, oh my God.
How many layers of etc.?
Trouble is, I was standing quite close to where he was speaking, and I was desperately trying not to laugh because it would look rude, because he wasn't saying things that were funny, except they were, inadvertently. But yeah, and then I had to have a phone meeting with a guy who just went, yeah, we could certainly look at that, etc. And he's like, what?
It's like a tick. It's a tick now, isn't it?
It's a tick. I'm adding it to the Smith & Sniff list of vocal ticks, because it goes up there with and on that side of things, and of course... And all that.
Actually, you know, Vocal Ticks, I think, was a third album from Stellantis, where they'd had a gap year, and they'd come back with an enormous amount of wildlife-based sounds that they incorporated into their dance music.
Oh, man. I was clearing out my old computer. I've got an old desktop computer that I'm just getting rid of because I don't need it anymore. And I just thought, I'll go through it, make sure there's nothing on there that I want to keep. And I found a load of old music files. And one of them, I'd forgotten about this at one point. I was trying to work out how bored I was at this point and why I wasn't working.
This is not one to show your wife, is it?
Well, no, this
a,
is just...
Not from
I just,
a porn point of view, from a, I've just wasted right. 3
just
days
from wasting
making
time,
sense.
Yeah. Did you have a busy day? Yeah, I did actually, yeah. not revealing that I spent presumably all day, or at least a chunk of it, making this bizarre bit of electronic music called Boots Vouchers. It's got this really
Boots
creepy...
Boots Vouchers?
Yeah.
it's
just bollocks. And it's got... There's a verse which is just instrumental. I presume I hadn't got round to that. But then on the chorus, in inverted commas, there's just this really weird Darth Vader voice that's going, these are things you can buy with Boots Vouchers.
Is that big Boots Advantage?
How and why did this happen? And I can't... I shall check the date on the file. I didn't do that. I'll try and work out what work I was avoiding doing at that point. So, probably one of those ones where if you bought one of those sort of subpar Top Gear books that I did, and you go, why is this not as good as it should be? It's because the author
Richard's
spent an afternoon
on a synth
with GarageBand.
Do you remember that vocoder app that I downloaded? I haven't played with that for a while. I was going to read out a couple of vehicle tech specs or what car reviews and just try drop in a little ticky beat behind it, but I haven't.
A little ticky beat. I love a little ticky beat.
Well, that's what the music industry is full of at the moment, isn't it? It just sounds like an enormous amount of crickets on a hot night.
Yeah.
Following you around.
Speaking of which, another music file that I found off my old computer was just a little bit of electronic noodling, but with an absolutely walloping 909 beat behind it, which I get, you just don't get anymore. And I just let it run. I just sat there and just let it run for a bit, just because I was just going, I fucking love a massive 909 beat. More of that in future.
Massive 909.
If,
in fact,
if people, sorry, that's a bit synth nerdy. The Roland, what's it called? The TR-909 was a drum machine that sort of superseded the famous 808,
couldn't,
which is, you know,
surely
the sound of the 80s.
Couldn't Peugeot bring some of these numbers to the fore?
I was thinking about this the other day, because Peugeot have done a sort of stick or twist, haven't they, where they've just gone, well, we know we're going to run out of numbers.
Yeah.
So we're not moving anymore, so everything is just going to be an 08.
Yeah.
Except I think their cars for sort of, I don't know how they term it, but I guess they're sort of more basic cars for certain markets are 05s, aren't they? So I think like China and South America get 05s. But Euro Peugeots are all 08s and will be forevermore. So it's sort of
Euro Peugeots. It's like coming Euro up next on the session, we've got 909 by the Euro Peugeots. Awesome. I'd subscribe to that.
Do you know what? I was looking at some pictures the other day of federal spec Peugeots, back when Peugeot used to sell cars in the US. And they seem to, particularly, even amongst Euro car makers, they seem to struggle to integrate the necessary federally required bumpers and lights. And you get sort of 505s because of the shape of the headlights.
Yeah.
Because they're a sort of. Oh, they what were they? Not a.
Well, they were like Essex ladies' eyebrows, those ones that they paint on. So,
yes.
What shape is that? It's a tapering cuboid.
Maybe, but then within that, you've got to fit two circles for your mandatory sealed beam American spec headlights.
Oh,
it
yeah,
just doesn't look right.
No, it doesn't. No. Kiss from a Rose by Sealed Beam. Oh, sorry. Just pathetic.
Killer by Adamski featuring Sealed Beam.
Exactly. Exactly. H4 remix.
Ah, the halogen remix. That sounds right. That sounds.
Halogen
that,
remix. Yeah, and Ego Zen.
It's a
and then,
good track, but God, have you heard the halogen remix? It's brilliant.
Then full length Xenon reversion. That would be more. That'd be a little
now,
bit more
Xenon.
Euro. Xenon would be more Euro.
But Xenon is a 90s/early 2000s dance band, if ever I heard one.
Xenon would
just
be
alone. Xenon.
It would be,
or
wouldn't
DJ
it?
DJ Xenon. Yeah, it's good.
Xenon would be. I think we've talked about it before. The film Blade with Wesley Snipes. In fact, we probably only talked about it two podcasts ago.
I feel like you bring it up pretty much every week.
I don't know. It's because I actually can't remember what happens in the whole film. I remember the long. No. I remember the long coat, very sharp knives, dodge charges in the night, mostly driven in the wet. I don't think there was ever a dry scene, but. But aside from that, it's that scene at the beginning in the nightclub where the music comes to a bit of a climax and then I think blood rains down from the ceiling.
Mm.
And it deeply disturbed me to the point where I turned it off and I had to go back to that film about a week later. I was not down with the raining blood in the club. But I actually can't remember why I've started to talk about this. Oh, shit.
Me neither. Anyway,
ID Buzz.
This, the one thing that puts me off it is that it has got that interior tech from the ID3 and the ID4 because it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
All those touch-sensitive things do not work.
No.
It's just dreadful. And they have, I saw in one of the write-ups of the Buzz, some claim that VW are saying they've improved it.
They told me that. They said they've done a next version of software update for it. And I kind of went, have you? And they went, yes, we have. And I'm actually going to try and fiddle with the buttons today, assuming the car I'm sitting in is real, which it will be real by this point because all the others were real. But
they're definitely building them on the line now because like they did a little teaser about that. So
yeah.
These are now sort of proper line-built cars, so they should all work.
I think it's really exciting. Like you just said, I think because we work in the industry that we work in, we are fortunate enough to drive cars that we can't always afford, and we're fortunate enough to drive stuff earlier. But what that does, it makes you a deep critic and it makes you a tough crowd. And there's not many cars you'd actually want to throw your own money at. And one of those... I'm in a quandary right now. I really want an ID Buzz as a family vehicle. I don't want the long wheelbase one. I wish I could have the crew seat option that you get in the cargo van, which is the three abreast seating at the front, but I believe you can't for the MPV, which is a bit of a Brian. But every time I think about that, I think, well, I don't know for sure, but by the time I've specced it up, is it going to be 60-something K? That's a heavy-duty sum.
I think it is, isn't it? Because I read... So when it comes out, it's going to be just one power output, one battery size, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then, a bit later, there'll be a slightly smaller battery version.
That's right.
Version,
it'll be a more
which
urban.
Which will be slightly cheaper.
Yeah.
And when I was reading about this, their idea of cheaper is that it'll be about 50 grand, which to me suggests that the launch version will be 60 plus.
I reckon you're right. I reckon you're right.
And then that's quite a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. I mean, it will be a useful thing. But here's the thing. I was working with a guy this week who said, here's the thing a lot. And unfortunately, after saying here's the thing, there wasn't a great deal of interesting substance to the chat. But anyway, here's the thing. I've been tooling around this week in an Ioniq 5. And you know I'm a big fan of the Ioniq 5. In fact, it's just won another award, I think, while I've been driving.
Has your affection for it diminished in any way, having with reacquaintance?
No. It's still so strong. The attraction is strong, and this is the attraction's so strong. And I've loved it because I think it does so many things very well. And I still look back at it when I lock it, and I parked it. I parked it in the middle of a Tesco Extra 2 nights ago because there was a free charging point. And I thought, in a world now amongst this horrific chaos that's going on, where it's £1.70 a litre, right, for diesel.
Yeah,
I stayed the night in a Premier Inn the other night. Tesco Extra was across the road. Pod Point, free charging facility, as long as you got the app.
Wow.
I had the app, so it's cool.
Hmm.
And I put it on charge, and it gave me a 240 miles of free fuel while I was sleeping / eating hash browns in Premier Inn. And I think, A, that turned me on, because I preheated it and everything, and that was quite smug. But B... There's so few things I don't like about it, the Ioniq 5. I'm sat here thinking, okay, if I was to order one of those and it'd be probably about 40 with a few options. I don't want four-wheel drive, I just want single motor. Do I just get one of those and a caravan on the back or a trailer tent? Or do I get an ID Buzz, live the dream, plastic hibiscus flowers, and I start swimming again? I'm just going to start wearing a wetsuit, unzip to the waist, tie the arms around.
All the time?
Yeah, all the time, even if I'm nowhere near the coast.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Johnny, welcome to Leamington Spa. Hi, why are you wearing a wetsuit? You never know.
I'm known as the sad, landlocked surf guy who just drives around and is nowhere near the coast. I've got a towel.
The lonely surfer.
Yeah.
He exists only in the English Midlands, desperately craving the sea. Hey, talking of vocal tics again, sorry, that's just reminding me as well, talking about the thing is, man. Someone we know, who I won't name, messaged me this week and said...
Just name them. Name them, Rich. Name them.
No, because that'd be cruel. Because it's about someone they used to work with who apparently used to go, okay... I mean, I'm sort of hypothesising here, but it would be a situation like this where you go, okay, I think here's what we need to do. A, we need to do this.
Oh, Rich.
And then people go,
is that me?
B,
I think this
B
is
what?
Me.
No,
is it me? Because I think I'm an ABC guy.
No, you don't understand. This guy would go, A, we need to do this. And then people go, yeah, and?
And then where's B?
What?
Oh, what, there's never
there'd
a
be
bit.
No B. And he would repeatedly do this, apparently. And I read this message from this guy that we know, and I was in a public place at the time, and I laughed out loud and looked like a bit of a loony. Because the way he wrote it out, he just went, yeah, so anyway, what we need to do is, A, we need to do this. And what? What else? What do you mean? Well, you just said A. Where's the B? I don't know what you mean. Apparently, he was genuinely confused as to why people were expecting something more. It's like, why did you say A?
That's
anyway.
You know what I do? And my daughter, unfortunately, my daughter's become clever. And she notices these things. I did a, one, go and brush your teeth, blah, blah, blah. B, go and do this. And she went, why one B? And I went, oh, shit.
See, I do that deliberately, though. I did that to you the other day when you sent me that clip of Marillion performing on Top of the Pops. And I sent you my list of questions that were raised by it.
And
they were deliberately cock-ass numbering and lettering.
They did. You're absolutely right.
Because I had so many questions from that bloody clip. I was meant to tell you, this is what I said, I was going to tell you about the guy I knew at university who was really into Marillion. And he was a Welsh guy, and his name was Merion. And we were always a bit confused. It's like, do you like Marillion because they have a name that's quite similar to yours or not? And I never sort of asked him
His name's Marion. Did you say Marion?
Merion.
Merion.
M-E-R-I-O-N, I think.
And his favourite band...
Welsh listeners.
His favourite band's Marillion.
Massive Marillion fan.
Could I just
But
say,
I think that's the thing. No one's a casual Marillion fan, are they? You're either in or you're out. It's like they're one of those bands that inspire total devotion, and anything less is like, they're no one's second favourite band ever. Either they're your favourite band in the entire world and you don't even like any other music, or zero.
Could I just say, that clip that I sent you of them performing on Top of the Pops, Kaylee, for anyone that cares, it's the only Marillion song that anyone normal knows.
Anyone knows, I know,
I was trying to get to sleep, and as you know, when I brush my teeth, I watch a lot of old pop videos these days. But this one was the gift that just kept on giving. It's like you take a band and you go, right, guys, here's the thing. None of you are attractive, so you can't get away with just kind of being good-looking but maybe slightly shit musicians. So do what you can. Yeah, do what you can. And then that's what Marillion come back with. Lead singer looks like he's just had a massive accident with a Funfair candy floss machine.
Why is his hair so thin and lank?
It's looks to go. This is not relevant if you haven't seen the video. I'm sorry. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's the looks to camera while he's singing. And the guy, who is it? Is it the guitarist who keeps popping in to the side? He just looks like a supply teacher.
There's a perspective. I think Fish is quite tall, right? But there's a perspective issue which makes him look 9 feet tall next to the guitarist. He looks twice the height of any other band member, which is one of my observations about that footage. But also, Fish is wearing a traditional tartan kilt. And it suddenly occurred to me that might be the least rock and roll item of clothing it's possible to wear. Nothing wrong with a kilt. It's a fine thing for Scottish people to wear at English weddings, as they do. But it doesn't work on stage on Top of the Pops when you're seeing a sort of heartfelt, light rock ballad.
It doesn't. Do you know what that track reminds me of? Do you remember dancing in stilettos in the snow?
And that. Do you remember where you left the spare set of car keys?
All I think about with that song, apart from dancing in stilettos in the snow, where I think someone's going to have a hip replacement off the back of that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go down so quick and hard.
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
Aren't you?
Ridiculous. Lethal. Really dangerous.
But I remember it being played in a very bad pub on New Year's Eve that I was in Bristol, and it's true. I remember this vividly. We decided to see the new. I don't know why we decided to see the New Year in the worst pub we could find, just to sort of be anti New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
and it was a proper drinkers' pub where there was a very kind of lackluster disco in the corner, and I've told you about this. A guy tried to buy my shirt off me and wouldn't leave me alone for about 2 hours. Did I tell you about this?
No.
I've actually still got the shirt. I'm banned from wearing it, but I've kept it. It was the Sun newspaper did a limited edition shirt collaboration with Ben Sherman. This is more than 20 years ago now, this. Yeah,
well, and of course you're in Bristol. This is the most 90s story. Fucking and Ben Sherman shirt.
It's a Ben Sherman shirt. And it had very, very tiny, it had mosaic tiles all over it, no more than a centimetre square. And each one was a previous Page 3 model from the Sun.
Oh, my God.
So from a distance, it looked like a colourful pattern. But when you got up to me and started talking to me, you realised all of it was just boobs and skin. So I just thought, well, you know, I was a young guy, and I just thought, it's a cool shirt, I'll wear that out. I wore it out to this dismal pub on New Year's Eve. I'm pretty sure I was single at the time, although that's
you don't
that's
say.
Not connected. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not connected to the bad shirt. Anyway, this guy obviously noticed the shirt, and he was fully pissed already. I think he'd come straight from his building job because he was wearing builder's clothes. And he insisted on buying it off me, and I just said, I don't want to sell it. It's limited edition. I think they've sold out of them. And he just kept putting, as the night wore on, he just kept putting the price up, another tenner. And he was cool about it, but he was obviously just getting more pissed. Anyway, I went to the toilet, and as I was at the urinals, a very long trough, exposed trough, old school, I turned around after I finished a waz, and he blocked the doorway, put his arms across the door, and he went, "You're not leaving here until I buy your shirt." God. And I'm like, "Oh gosh, this is going to be one of these New Year's Eve situations where I'm going to end up bound and gagged and naked in a horrible pub toilet. Not again."
What, all for a very classy, boobsy shirt.
All for a Ben Sherman shirt with skin on. Yeah, so managed to talk my way out of it. But he'd put the price up to, I think, £100, and I still didn't sell it. I've actually still got it, like I said.
Well, so I've got some news for you, because I just looked up on eBay. I was out of interest, and lo and behold,
you found
there's one for sale. Yeah, it's on eBay at the moment, with 3 days left. Starting bid, and there have been no bids at the moment, strangely. Starting bid is £50.
Oh.
So you're sitting on £50 there. Well, I can't help noticing, apart from the large collection of boobs on it, is that the first picture is a close-up of the label in the collar, and it is 100% polyester.
Okay. I'm very, very glad you pointed that out. So
why was it a sweaty night in
the
pub?
It was a hot night in the pub because they didn't open any windows and there was a lot of bad disco dancing and stuff, including the song Marillion Cayley, which is what it now reminds me of, is that pub night. It was so unbreathable, the shirt. I had to slightly, almost completely wear it open for halfway through the night, so I looked like a shit medallion man. A guy in his very early 20s with an almost completely open polyester shirt. There's no wonder I was not in a relationship.
I'm looking at some other pictures of this shirt on eBay,
yeah.
And my question is,
yeah,
what the merry farting heck possessed you to buy this shirt? It's it's terrible.
It is bad. Different times, Richard. I'm going to just use that phrase. Different times.
I mean,
I know it's staffed. Staffed.
Did you buy it online or did you see it in a shop?
I got a press release about it when I was a journalist, and I immediately phoned the press office and said I'd like to buy one before they bring them out. And they went, "Oh well, I think they're all allocated." And I said, "I'll buy one. Send me one in medium."
To who?
And I got one. I bought one and got it through pretty much like the day that the press release was unveiled. So I was very proud of it, but it was just different type. But don't forget, I did work on magazines that promoted lariness and unruliness. So.
Yes, and this was the '90s, and it was.
I'm gonna say it might have been 2001.
Okay, well, I mean that was
still sort of the '90s.
We've talked about this before, haven't we? The decades don't exist neatly in the actual numerical sense that. You know, it's like the 80s didn't get started until about 1982, 3, I think.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's in the true sense of the 80s. That's when someone bought some red braces and everyone went, ooh. For our patrons, I'll stick some pictures of a booby shirt like the one that Johnny wore to a pub on New Year's Eve in Bristol, listening to Kayleigh. A lot to unpack there on that one, but anyway.
But going back to the ID Buzz.
Yes!
So I think I think it depends. It's one of those things where if the software hasn't changed significantly, is that enough to put you off buying an ID Buzz?
Well, I drove an ID4 GTX the other week, and that whole interior system, all the touch-sensitive buttons, the touch screen, the stupid electric window controls where there's only two switches and then you have to push a button marked rear to flip what the switches do.
Yeah.
And it's a touch-sensitive button. It never fucking works properly first time. It just drove me mad.
Yeah.
Horrible car because of that. I mean, it's a pretty drab car anyway, but good God, it was just unlivable with that stupid system. And then I discovered the voice control, which I presume, you know, they're going, well, it doesn't matter, the buttons don't work properly, because you can do voice control. But the voice control is sort of okay as these things go. But while it's having a think about you going, could you make me warmer, please? It sort of dips the stereo to the point you can barely hear it. And you're just in the middle of a podcast or a good song or something. You just go, I don't, just fucking play it. It's really irritating to live with. And if the ID Buzz hasn't stepped up the game on how that all works. And there's some fundamental flaws in there that I know they haven't addressed, because it's still got those stupid heater controls just below the touchscreen.
Yeah, I know.
And I gather the software update involves a thing where the screen, because those VWs have had for quite a few years now proximity sensors on the screen, haven't they?
They have. So they're annoying.
Even the Golf 7 had it.
Yeah.
And as you got near the screen, the icons sort of got bigger and things, which was quite clever, and it did sort of work. But they're using that proximity sensing technology now so that if it detects your hand going near the screen, it locks out the heater controls because they realised you can accidentally brush them while you're trying to touch the touchscreen. But it's like, that wouldn't be a problem that required a solution if you hadn't made such a massive cock-up in the first place.
Yeah, it's true. And I had an e-Golf, so a Mark 7.5, and that was the only thing that massively irritated me about it, because when I took my hand off the indicator stalk and I moved it back to the steering wheel or down to, say, the gear shift area, it would either change my radio channel or put the music volume up really high. Or if I was on a Bluetooth hands-free call and I was gesticulating, which I tend to do, I mean, in fact, I'm doing it now while I talk to you, it would just go haywire. And it was like, this is shit I don't need in 2022. This is shit I don't need. And driving the Ioniq 5, I realised it's just got a really good balance of, like, no bullshit tiles and menus, no bullshit physical buttons or knobs. And I love it. I love that about it. The only thing that the Ioniq 5 needs is the end of the drive selector and the end of the indicator. They just need someone to machine the same little end capping out of something like billet aluminium, and then I'll just swap it over on my drive after I've bought the car. And because those are the tactile things you touch and they feel slightly tinny.
Yeah.
And apart from that, I'm in.
I remember there were two things I didn't like about the Ioniq 5, and one of them is that because of the way that the door panels are designed, the door pull is sort of somehow invisible, and it's really hard to get your head around. And it's such a minor point, and I think you probably would get used to it. Maybe you have, but I just found it's like a bit of a head fuck. And then my wife got in the car and she went, how'd you close the door? I'm like, well, it's there, it's just hidden. It's like a sort of concealed, it's almost like a, you know, sort of some kind of perspective cheat they've done that makes it look like there's no way to pull the door shut. But
yeah.
Otherwise, no, all good. Hey, well, anyway, look, this brings me sort of clattering towards what I really wanted to tell you today, which is that I've ordered a new car.
Have you?
Mm.
Bloody hell, you seem to be surging ahead in the car world than me. I'm getting FOMO. Don't tell me you just ordered an ID Buzz.
No.
You absolute wand.
No. Well, first of all, my 911 is up for sale on Collecting Cars, so that's going.
Wow, I've just hit a radiator. Have you not put it on Doug DeMauro's Cars and Bids with an extremely high-pitched, enthusiastic introduction to it?
No, I haven't. I haven't thought about that.
That's a surprise.
But I've got to give a shout out to Richard Tipper of Perfection Valet, who came over and cleaned up my 911 before it was photographed for Collecting Cars, and spent basically a whole day forensically cleaning my 911. Made me realise how I hadn't, you know, cleaned it properly for ages. It's all well and good giving it a good old sponging, but he just did the most remarkable alchemy on that car. to the point where it just looked like a new car. And my wife actually went, oh, my God, do we have to sell it?
Because it's just... This is the
problem. It's like having a new car and the interior being freshened up and everything. And you just realise that, you know, things as cars get older, and that car is, coming towards 14 years old this year, and it's sort of 60,000 miles on it. So it's, you know, it's had a few years under its belt, but it's just little things like, you know, the steering wheel leather goes a little bit shiny, and Richard just sorted that. And it's now lovely and sort of back to factory spec matte. And it's just incredible how much these things lift the feeling of a car.
We should never detail cars pre-sale. You should detail them when you're owning it.
Well, this has made me realise
that. Because then the relationship is strong. Because you don't want to wave goodbye to a car when it's looking at its finest, because you'll get FOMO.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, it's too late anyway. The 911's got to go, and is going, in fact, this week. It's on Collecting Cars. If you'd like to buy my 911, please do, because we're moving house and I need the money. But I also realised that we still kind of needed another car. So,
oh gosh,
you know, I've been wanking on for ages on this podcast about buying a VW Up GTI.
Yeah.
Because it, to the extent that when one of our listeners did that Smith & Sniff bingo sort of thing, the which we talked about last week, he actually put Richard going on about an Up GTI in our
it is a common occurrence, it must be said. More common than mentions of Marillion, I would say.
Well, for David, the chap who wrote the Smith & Sniff bingo, I have some news. I have ordered a VW Up,
but not a GTI.
No,
an E.
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
An electric car. Well done.
Yeah, so that I got an email. I've subscribed to various mailing lists with sort of lease companies and things just to keep abreast of what's going on. I always get delighted when they'll go, did you know you could have a Seat Leon for £92 a month? And I'm always like, that's fascinating. I don't want one, but it's good to know. And that kind of deal sort of seems to be increasingly rare. There was a period, you know, when interest rates were at the bottom and cars were still being made because there wasn't the chip shortage and all that, where you would get some insanely good value deals.
Yeah.
But in the general scheme of things, with the state of where the cars are at the moment, generally, I thought there was quite a good deal came through from a lease company for E-Ups. And we're moving house, and then my wife's going to have a bit of a commute to her new office, which has the world's smallest car park, apparently, and like even a golf-sized car sort of touches the white lines on both sides of the spaces.
So really?
She's like, ooh, yeah, apparently it's really tiny sort of under-building car park.
So you didn't order her a Messerschmitt KR200 then?
No, but then nor did I go, oh, a Jag Mark 10. That would be a good car for narrow parking space.
Still classed as a compact in America, probably.
Yes, but was famously Britain's widest car for a long time, I think. Probably until, I don't know, a Lamborghini Diablo. That would be a nice car to park in a narrow underbuilding car park. I thought I can sell the 911, release some of the money that's trapped in that to buy friggin' curtains and carpets and things, and then just a little dribble of money every month to have us a nice little electric Up. Because I drove the updated Up a while ago to review for the newspaper, and I thought it was really nice. And then I watched, when I was pondering this, I watched your review of it, which made me laugh so much.
Really?
When you get a complete rage on about not being able to get the charging bung out of its hole.
I was cold and fed up that day, I remember.
And at one point you shout bollock porridge at it. And then go, I'm going to get a stick and I'm going to smash it all. It's also got, you don't do this anymore in your late break show videos, I think, because there's a bit at the beginning where you just do this incredibly low energy voiceover. It's really funny.
Low energy. Oh no.
Yeah, there's the E-Up park next to that E-Golf that it was your car at the time.
That's right.
And you just, the voiceover just goes, there's the E-Up, and next to it, there's the E-Golf, and that's the E-Up, and there's next to it, the E-Golf. It's just really sort of deliberately mumbly.
That sounds unpro and not desirable as a viewer to
watch. I thought you were doing it deliberately, but yeah, that's the thing. I suspect you don't dick around as much doing the videos because it's your...
Suddenly it's become more of a business.
It is your living, isn't it? So you don't want to just go, oh, we haven't made any money this month because I was deliberately stupid and shouted bollock porridge at a car.
I might do that, though. I might do more of that.
I mean, I would fully encourage it because, like I said, I laughed out loud probably 3 or 4 times watching that short video.
So for the purposes of the listeners, did you buy an e-up off the back of my review that involved me hitting it with a twig and shouting bollock?
Yes. Bollock? I watched a few reviews and read a few reviews. It's weird because I've driven that car. The first thing I did was I reread my own review just to remind myself that I definitely liked it because sometimes your mind plays tricks. And I did, and I described it as charming. And I also mentioned that the ride was really good, which I remember it was. And that's the one thing about the Up GTI, maybe the ride is not so good. And I do like a comfortable riding car, particularly a small car, because it's sort of impressive when they do that.
Yeah.
And
it is a good
ride. Just think it's... I always, you know, we sort of talk sometimes about cars that are fit for purpose and or fit for, you know, the life that you're leading. And I think the E-Up is going to be absolutely spot on for our very specific requirements in sort of the coming couple of years or so. I've signed up for a 3-year deal, so we've got that bastard thing for 3 years, whether we like it or not. But
I'm glad about
that. I'm looking forward to it.
No, it's funny because my dad's thinking of getting one. My mum and dad. Yeah.
Ah, well, I'd recommend looking into it. This lease company is, I don't know if to mention them or not because it makes it sound like I'm getting favours and I'm not. But they have some pre-ordered, which is why they can deliver. They've said it might be like 4 weeks, and I get it.
Is that all?
The docks. Yeah.
Four weeks.
If you went to a VW garage and went, I'd like an E-Up, please, unless they've got one in stock, you're looking at quite a long wait, apparently. But this company pre-ordered a batch of them in all different colours, and they're on so they claim. We'll see. Ask me again in 4 weeks when I'm going, where's my bastard car?
Will you get delivery of it to the 90s quarter in Bristol, or is it going to be...
Yeah, that would be quite... Well, probably they might have come in there, mightn't they?
They will.
They've come over from Germany, though.
They might come into there. A lot of cars do come into there, like a lot of Hondas and Suzukis, I think. I'm trying to remember. You do see a lot of cars coming in Bristol way.
Well, that's it. I've seen down at the docks lots of rows and rows of cars. So maybe it is at this very minute sitting...
That's exciting.
It is really exciting, isn't it? It's good. It's kind of taken the edge off the sadness of the 911 going, is that I've got a new toy.
Well, I may, and I probably won't, have ordered an ID Buzz next podcast. Who knows? Who knows, Richard?
When you go and see them this afternoon, are you hoping there's just a sort of order book open on the table and you can...
Well, and I'll scrub out everyone else's name and put mine in at the top in Sharpie, really dark Sharpie.
Do you think that car's going to be a... runaway hit and like massive waiting time for it and all the rest of it, because I sort of feel that it is, but then
I think so. I mean, it drives so much better, I think, than a T6. It's just a T6 is a van, isn't it? And it's an overpriced van when you start adding bits onto it. So I think this is a significant evolution in terms of tech and everything else. So it sort of warrants its price tag more than a heavily loaded T6. Oh, that T7, the multivan, you know, that's 47 grand as the plug-in hybrid. So people forget that. People instantly go, oh, God, the ID Buzz is great, but it's way too expensive for normal people. It's like, well, there's quite a lot of normal people that seem to be spending 50 grand on a Trendline T6. So, I mean, what are you... Yeah. And that's using fairly ordinary diesel tech. So come and talk to me when you've specced up your T6, yeah?
Totally.
I'm in the process of buying a sort of recession-resistant eco daily driver car that's second-hand. But I'll talk to you more about that another day. I'm holding that one. That's the car that's close to my chest, my neoprene-lined chest.
Your neoprene. Yeah. Well, no, your chest, because you've peeled the wetsuit down to around your waist, haven't you?
Yeah, it is. It's down, and I've tied the arms together.
Because you're in Warwick.
Yeah, that's right. And I've got a necklace on that it's sort of... You think it's a shark tooth, but it's not. It's actually just a sterling silver wave.
Lovely.
You know the one I mean. You know the type? Yeah. I've got...
Have you ever seen that stuff? I think my wife's got some of it. There's that sea kind of shit you can spray in your hair to make your hair sort of a bit like it would be when it's been in the sea. You know, that salty kind of where it's very thick. It feels very thick and rough.
Really?
And that, yeah.
I've not.
But I, it's,
is
I
it
don't
dry
know if,
shampoo?
I don't know if it smells, maybe. Well, no, I just wonder if it smells like the sea. I just wonder if you're going to spritz yourself with that stuff so you always smell a bit salty.
I might. I could just mix up a little bit of saline and just fire it over my neck and my shoulders.
Or just open a bag of ready salted crisps and rub them on yourself.
Smith Salt and Shake, Richard.
Yeah,
it's
there
a classic,
you go.
Classic bag. Do you
Why
remember
is
the
Johnny
Smith Salt
always
shake?
Being attacked by sparrows? Well, he rubs salt on himself.
I like the surfer dream. That is one of the things I miss about not living in the West Country anymore. Not being close.
That, I think
to
that's
the waves.
Thing because I've been surfing once in my life and I was cack at it and never got to stand up. But I do sort of when you look at that ID buzz, you do sort of go, oh, there's me sitting on a cliff top,
yes.
looking out over my old nemesis, the sea, with my laptop, old... just doing some work with the sliding door open on a lovely day,
yeah.
and then making a coffee using the fag lighter, like in that old Nescafe advert from the 80s with the beetle in it.
Yeah.
And it's of course something that I would never do. But
yes, it's selling you the dream that you could.
Exactly, yeah.
And
exactly.
and there's a
you
lot
could.
To be said for that, especially in a world where there's so much shit going on. You think, do you know what, I might just drive to the coast, put the kettle
yeah.
on, get my laptop
yeah, yeah.
out, and in the case of me, I'll wait till there's a really strong offshore wind and then I'll get my inflatable kayak out and then before you know it, I'm in Ireland being rescued.
Neoprene-clad man rescued on coast. We should start to wrap this up, but I wanted to just... We've had a message from... We've got a few bits of business, buzzness.
Buzzness?
There's... well, first of all, a very important message from Jeremy Townsend, who is the Group Communications Director for Stellantis UK.
He is!
Yeah, he is, lovely man. once gave me a lift home, and I almost wet myself in the back of his company car.
What? Why?
I went to a car industry thing in a pub in Surrey, and for some reason it just never occurred to me how to get home. I got the train there.
You absolute prunts.
And then stayed late, and there was no way to get home, and I just sort of assumed that I'd find a way to get home. And in the end, bless him, Jeremy went, well... I've got a car and I've got a driver. Someone's driving me home.
What?
So you're welcome for a lift into London. And bless him, he got his driver. He only lived on the sort of western side of London. He got out and then his driver had to take me home, which he didn't seem very happy about. But I was desperate for a piss because I'd been in the pub.
No. Yeah, you were holding
I ended up having to get the driver to let me out where it wasn't actually my house. It was just a petrol station near my house and ran into the bushes by the petrol station.
What?
Hoping the bloke didn't spot me doing that. Because I would look like a lunatic or he'd think, what, he lives in a bush? It's a bit weird.
It's funny you should say, because I did realise that the things I enjoy the most after I finish a long shoot outdoors at the moment in winter when you're cold to the bone is you get in the car, heated seat on, full bore, and then you pull over and have a really wonderful sort of scenic piss vista roadside slash. These two elements are very important to me. They're becoming more important with age. Sorry to interrupt, hijack your thread there. You carry on.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pick at this thread. Let's go back to Jeremy's message. Jeremy just sent us a message just to say he'd just been catching up with the last podcast and the space tourer that you were driving. He says, of course the space tourer doesn't have a three-cylinder diesel. The person who wrote the spec sheet is currently being flogged.
Oh, so they right, because the spec sheet did say three-cylinder diesel.
Yeah, spec sheet was...
I did think it didn't sound very three-cylindery, but at the same time, diesels can be a bit chaotic in their sound. So I wasn't quite... You know, modern diesels, I think there's a lot going on to try and make them less muddy. So I was like, oh, well, maybe it is a triple. Okay, so sorry, Jeremy. I really enjoyed the sex tourer. It was fantastic. Even my wife went, do you know what? This is so comfortable. And so she drove it to Norfolk a few times for a good reason, not for no reason.
Yeah.
just to get away from me and then come back again.
Also, something I just wanted to bring up is a listener called Peter Alfred wrote in. And I'm just going to leave this one for listeners and maybe we'll come back to it next week. Peter says, I'm hoping this will frustrate and intrigue you as much as it has me. This thought has been on my mind for years. What is the car with the largest difference between the smallest and largest available engines? Annoyingly, he continues, I think I found the answer almost immediately with the W204 Mercedes C-Class, which was available with a 1.6-litre four-cylinder and also with a 6.2-litre V8 with a 4.6-litre difference.
Yeah, that's...
The rules of this inane game are that the engines don't necessarily have to have been on sale at the same time, but must be in the same generation. Also, electric cars don't count as 0-litre cars. They must be production cars, so things like the W12 Concept Golf also don't count. Excellent rule setting there, Peter.
I was going to say, he was straight in there with the rules, wasn't he?
Yeah, I hope you enjoy / are frustrated by this. Well, this is the thing. So I this has been playing on my mind, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, something like, I don't know, a Dodge Challenger, but they do, annoyingly, their smallest engine isn't that small.
Is it 3.5, so, V6, isn't it?
Yeah, 3.5, and then it goes up to, I think, 6.4. For the Hellcats. So, yeah, not as big a spread as that Mercedes that Peter's highlighted. So we'll leave that with listeners as their sort of brain worm for the coming week.
I can only think of one, and I think it's definitely not as broad church as the Mercedes C-Class, which is, I thought, Mondeo, because they did a 1-litre EcoBoost Mondeo, and you could get them in V6 ST... thingy flavour, which was what was that, 3-litre?
Well, yeah, but hang on, were they in the same generations?
Probably not. So I
wasn't, was that, was, no, wait, no, was the 1-litre in the Mondeo, or was it the 1.5 eco boobs in that one?
I think you could buy a 1-litre, which I was always totally fascinated with, such a large car with such a tiny engine. I bet if you pop the bonnet, it just looked like a children's shoebox under the bonnet of what might be an engine.
The one that I thought got closest, that the current 7 series, in some countries you can get a 2-litre.
Can you?
Yeah, in like China and places, because of tax laws. And you can also get a 6-litre V12.
Ooh.
Or you could. But that's still only 4-litre spread. That's not as good as the Merc.
No, it's not.
Anyway, we'll come back to this, because I'm hoping that listeners will get in touch and someone will ace this. I'm sort of still thinking there must be something American where, like, there's some insane spread. Because it doesn't have to be a current car, does it? It could be something from...
Oh, of course, yeah. So. Yeah, of course. I hadn't thought of the American market, small 6, and then going all the way up to, like, a Hemi or a 440... Well,
yeah.
In fact,
something, because what was a big block V8 of GM would be like a 7-litre, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 454.
Anyway,
yeah, well, Cadillac did a 500 cubic inch or 502.
Oh, day.
Filth.
Well, this is it. We will leave that as a sort of irritating diversion for the coming week for listeners and indeed for us. It's a good game. So, well, thank you, Peter, for that. We'll get back to you. Anyway, we should wrap this up while we can. Before we go, though, I have 3 things to tell you. They are, 1, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on that. Are you going to put this little vlog thing of the ID Buzz up quite soon?
I'm going to try and do it soon. It's either going to be that or me driving a street-legal Porsche 917. We'll see.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Just thought.
Okay. Anyway, many excellent videos already on there and many more to come. Second thing I've got to tell you is that I've got various books out, but I've also got a car for sale. Please go and buy my Porsche 911 on Collecting Cars if you want a 997 Gen 2. It's a good one.
That was just casually thrown in there. I like that. That's
yeah,
nice.
Well, because it's got to go, because I've got to buy some new curtains. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that Mark Bolan, out of T-Rex, used to share a flat with James Bolam, the actor out of The Lightly Lads.
Really?
They were flatmates in the mid-60s, yeah. And James Bolam believes that Mark Bolan stole his surname and adapted it to make his stage name, because when they lived together, Mark Bolan was known as Mark Feld, which is his real name.
Oh, my gosh, he must have stolen it.
Stolen from Bolan.
Bolam and Bolan.
Bolam and Bolan. And they, yeah, they were flatmates. And then one went to be in The Lightly Lads and one went to be in T-Rex. So, you know.
Or Trex, as I used to think they were called, which is, I think, a substitute for lard.
What? It sounds like an entry-level Chevrolet from the Americas.
No.
It's like sort of Mexican market, and it's actually made in South Korea, but no one ever knows that. Yeah, because it's badge of Chevy.
I'm sure it's a lard substitute.
I've no time for lard substitutes. If you want lard, just get lard. Embrace it.
Well, quite the Chevrolet lard. That would be quite good, wouldn't it? Yeah, hang on. It's a low fat baking product.
Low fat lard.
It is. I've just looked it up on the internet. It's 1932.
Low danger asbestos.
Yeah, Trex. Mark Bolan and low fat baking product.
Okay. Coming up tonight in session, Mark Bolan and the low fat lard. Great band. I'd change the name if I were them. Thank you for listening. If you came here for in-depth information about the Volkswagen ID Buzz, I suggest you go elsewhere. But
watch my video.
Watch Johnny's video. That's it.
Yeah. On that side,
And likewise, if you want to know what the VW e-up is like, he's got a review of that in which he shouts swear words at a charging flap. It's fantastic. That's for Smith and Sniff. We'll be back doing this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.